is Davin's Den. This
is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out on Davin's Den. Have a little bit of a... Why is that still playing? Stop playing. Have a little bit of a breaking news, which we will get to.
Oh.
Yeah, very little throwback character from the show's past. It was very was the topic of conversation for quite a many shows. Not that terribly long ago, to be honest with you.
Oh.
Do you want to hazard a guess?
I'm thinking, does this have to do with our old friend Yuliana?
Yeah, no, it does not.
Oh,
no, it does not. What am I looking for?
I'm not sure then.
All right. Well, there's Joe. All right. So I will tell you guys. As soon as I get this news story queued up, but then I'll tell you guys. So, a little bit of breaking news. My wife and my daughter and my wife's friend and her daughter, all friends, went to a candle lighting, a menorah lighting. Because you can't have enough menorah lightings. Because it's not, you've seen one. Uh-oh, Pip has an idea.
I know who it is.
Who is it?
Is it racist rabbi?
Very good, Pip. It is the racist rabbi.
No!
Look at her. She's so excited she got lost in the holly.
I just backed into the bush like Homer Simpson.
There you go. So they go to this.
Oh.
They go to this candle lighting, menorah lighting, which is like a few towns over. But it's not his town. But they show up. They show up. My wife, daughter, and the friends show up. And who's running it? The racist rabbi and his wife. So
it's a Christmas miracle.
So the racist rabbi's wife is like as nice as can be. She's always that way though. Whatever, doesn't matter. Like yeah, the racists are nice too. And but like the racist rabbi's like face, I guess from what they're telling me, just went like ashen. Like he knew. Oh yeah, sorry I couldn't be there for that. So then she wanted to, the wife wanted to, hook up with my wife on social media, and my wife's like, I don't do social media. Okay. And they're talking to, and they're talking about like Facebook in the kitchen, and my daughter's friend is talking to my daughter about something about old lady in social media. My daughter's like, I'm not an old lady, meaning my wife was an old lady. And then which is awesome, by the way. And then my wife doubles down, go, no, Facebook. I remember when it started. I'm like, that's not helping the case.
That's not acquitting yourself. No, well.
I go, these kids aren't on Facebook. I go, they're on Instagram and TikTok. But then what made me feel young is I knew a social media site that they didn't know. I know this site, Mastodon. Have you guys heard of Mastodon?
No, what's that?
Mastodon is... Mastodon is liberal Twitter. You know how at one point all the conservatives got their panties in a bunch and they went to Gab and Truth Social and whatnot, all these right-wing sites? Well, the liberals have gotten their panties in a bunch, and now they're flooding to Mastodon. Everybody's going to their safe space. But the kids didn't know about Mastodon, so I felt pretty good about knowing about that. But then what really? So I'm having this conversation with them, and then she's like, "Yeah, my wife's like, yeah, we had to take a picture with them," and I was drinking at the time.
What?
Yeah, we had to take a picture with the racist rabbi and his wife, and I was drinking at the time, and let's just say the fluids did not stay in me. I did a spit take in my kitchen.
Yes, I would have done too. I almost did.
This is all the reason why I don't go to things. I don't go out because there's these awkward things. I mean, I probably would have been perfectly pleasant, but I'm much happier that I wasn't involved, you know?
Right.
Yes. Right. Oh, yeah. Who needs that awkward crap?
Well, you know what would have been good? If I would have gone up to go, hey, how about that Kanye?
No, you would not.
I think you guys have some things in common.
I hear he's had a bad year. What do you think?
Yeah, he don't like Jews. You don't like black people. What you think?
Maybe you two should team up and have lunch.
Yeah, have latkes and lunch.
I have the perfect place for you to meet.
What place is that?
Mar-a-Lago.
There you go. All right. So I thought that was very interesting. All right, let's do this news story. This news story is about a case before the Supreme Court right now about a web designer who did not want to create a web. She wanted to get into the wedding website business. I didn't know that was a thing, but of course it is. But she doesn't want to do same-sex marriages. She's an evangelical Christian, but she's not using the argument against my religion. She's using the argument that that web design is art and this is her speech, and she shouldn't be compelled to do it. So here's the story, and then this is Pip's blog.
Today, this Colorado web designer reached the highest court in the land. Lori Smith argues she should not be compelled by the state to design wedding websites for same-sex couples.
Colorado is trying to force me to promote ideas inconsistent with my faith and the core of who I am.
Under public accommodation laws, businesses open to all cannot deny services based on a customer's race, gender, or sexual orientation.
You can't define your service, so you exclude an entire category of people.
Liberal Justice Elena Kagan said gay couples want to buy the same services for wedding websites as straight couples.
And the question is, can a website designer say, sorry, that's not my kind of marriage?
Smith contends her work is her personal artistic expression, protected by the First Amendment. Justice Sonia Sotomayor differed.
You're not inviting them to the wedding. Lily and Mary are. So how has it become your message?
But conservative Justice Clarence Thomas noted that creative businesses are different.
This is not a hotel. This is not a restaurant. This is not a riverboat or a train. I'm interested in the intersection of public accommodations law and speech.
While Lori Smith's views are rooted in her Christian faith, her case is about whether excluding gay weddings is free speech, not religious freedom.
All right, so this was Pip's blog. What say you, Pip?
Well, you know, I picked this one deliberately because it was something that I was struggling with. My knee-jerk reaction is, how dare you? But, you know, because, you know, I'm an LGBTQ ally, and I just really don't like discrimination against protected classes in any way. But, you know, then I started reading more into what the different things were that the Supreme Court was debating, and there are examples. I mean, there were bad examples. Alito said, what if you were a black Santa and you had a little Ku Klux Klan dressed up kid sitting on your lap? Well, I mean, the Klan isn't a protected class, and you could argue that that's hate speech. But you know what? I did appreciate that they were trying to come up with.
Well, you left out a couple of others too. I mean, let's just touch on them. Like Kavanaugh asked whether a publishing house that supports abortion rights could refuse to publish a book containing anti-abortion views, and Gorsuch queried whether freelance writers could be required to accept commissions expressing views they opposed. Go on.
Yeah. So, and that's the crux of it. If they were talking about, you know, places like, I can't believe I'm even feeling like any bit of sympathy with Clarence Thomas's views on anything. But, you know, we are talking about places like, in a not-so-distant future, say, black people had to use the colored entrance or were not allowed at all. That's not so far away that we all smart from those kinds of decisions. And, you know, I'm glad that people no longer have to say, oh, we're not allowed in that restaurant or we're not allowed in that building. And I actually have had a couple of instances, which is really weird, as just like a Caucasian woman in the suburbs, in my own town, there was suddenly a large influx of Korean families moving in, and I went into one of their stores just to see what was in there, and I was walking around, and they had interesting looking boxes of hair dye. It was behind the counter, so I couldn't get at it, so I asked the guy behind the counter, who was paying me absolutely no mind as a customer, if he could hand me the box so I could look at it, and he told me that that hair dye was just for Korean hair. And I got the distinct impression from his behavior before and then with that comment that I was not welcome in that store. And, you know, that kind of thing flies in France, and I don't know what happens in Korea, but I was like, in America, you're treating me like that? And I reflected on how, you know, there are still places where people get treated like crap, you know, those distinctions still happen, but they're against the law. But now we're saying about creatives, and I do think that people who do websites are creative, writers, painters, photographers, and telling them how they are or are not allowed to express themselves, even if they're being paid for it, this is a tough nut. This is a hard thing to decide what. You know, and that's why I appreciate them coming up with examples. Like, what is the line? What are you to be told as an artist or a writer or something that you have to do, whether you like it or not? Right. I mean, somebody's anti-abortion. Do you have to write articles, you know, talking about, you know, abortion and taking a pro stance? Do you have to paint a mural that's about, you know, something that you abhor? I don't know. And I really had to say that I'm really glad I'm not on the Supreme Court deciding this, because I'm not sure where the line is. And I don't think that it's crazy that we're even discussing it. I feel bad for gay couples that are turned away for web services or wedding cakes or anything. And it's one thing if you're in a city and there's other places to choose, places that say hang out the rainbow flag and you know that you're welcome. But what do you do if you're in a really small town in Arkansas? I'm sorry, gay people, what are you doing in a small town in Arkansas?
Well, hold on. Web design, you don't have, my web designer's in Florida. You don't have to be in the town for the web designer.
No. I mean, in the specific instance of web design.
Well, that's what we're talking
about. We're talking about creative.
Well, hold on. Well, let's stop this right now. Because is this person really creative? Because there's a couple different types of web designers. There's the web designer where the customer pretty much sends them everything, and then the web designer is just putting in code. There's that type of web designer where the client is really hands on, and then there's the other type of web designer where the client doesn't really know much, and the web designer has to do a lot of different things. So we haven't so in my mind, those are two different things. We have not established that this person is an artist. In my mind, she might be.
I had to make an assumption.
But still, I mean, it's on her art where she has to do something.
But she's not an artist. But hold on. What Justice Thomas is saying is this isn't a restaurant, which I'll get to in a second. This isn't a riverboat. He's saying it's that. So he's saying that she is an artist. What I'm saying is I don't know what was involved with this website. That makes a big difference to me. Whether, you know, we're just entering code and then it's more science and more plug and play, or if she's creating a motif. And that was I think it was Justice Kagan said, you're not inviting them to the wedding. Well, how hands-on is she? So that's important. I'm not just, and I was having this conversation with my web designer, and we kind of came along with the same thing. But, and he said, listen, if I was just plug and play, I wouldn't want to take the job. you know. But there are those web designers that are plug and play, where, you know, it's just like, all right, this is what I want. I'm going to send you the pictures. I'm going to send you the videos. This is the theme I want, and you can pick all that. And they're just entering the code. So I don't know. I don't know what this woman is. And as far and then Clarence Thomas said, well, it's not a restaurant. Now hold on a second here. If we're talking McDonald's, you're not an artist. I'm sorry. You might be really good on the fry-a-later, but you're not a fry artist. But if we're you're not. But if we're talking about like a restaurant where there's a chef and they're coming up with their own menu and they're involved in the decor and the whole feel of everything and the pairings of the wine, now we're talking about art. There's degrees of everything. It makes a difference. There are chefs that they make art and it looks like art on a plate. And then there's Hardee's. There's a fucking difference.
I think that it's hard to make the argument about a restaurant only because, yes, what they're doing is creative, but they don't have to create duck a l'orange a la gay.
It's more of an impersonal thing where you do have your chef, but you do have your servers, you do have the so there's many people there. In the case of this, she is, regardless of what, you know, if you consider it art or not, she is one person creating something that she doesn't believe in due to her religion. And I know they're not ruling on religion, but the simple fact of the matter is...
It's not religion.
They're just conservative, and it's a religion thing.
It's not, but that's not what this is about. She specifically didn't do that. She wants it about speech. So that's what we need to determine. Is this really her speech, or is she plug and play? And they didn't answer that. Hold on. I'm going through the examples. Then they're talking about the publishing house. Well, do they have to publish a book that they don't believe in? No, because publishing houses refuse all sorts of shit all the time. They, for all sorts of reasons. A publishing
because
house
they're producing content, and so is shit.
Right, but you don't. But a publishing house does not have to take everything that comes its way, because by nature, publishing houses publish very, very few transcripts that they receive, which is why we have self-publishing companies. So the better example is, would a self-publishing company be able to refuse it? That's the better example. They didn't give us that. These judges are missing it. They're all around it trying to give us Black Santas and KK, like completely ridiculous things, when they should be asking, what did this client specifically ask you to do? What were your responsibilities? That's what we need to know if we want to go after the speech thing, because she doesn't want to do the religion thing.
I think they probably presented that because it got all the way to the Supreme Court. You can't get all the way to the Supreme Court on hearsay or something that.
But what I'm saying is, what we have not been privy to that, and the judges aren't asking that, at least not what we've heard, and that is the crux of the issue, because they want to give all these other jobs all the, and they don't even give good examples.
Thought that it would have been made, all this would have been evidence would have been brought forward for them to even make a ruling on that.
I don't know. I don't know if it even got that far. I mean, we don't know. The conversation could have been, hey, Jenny and Susan, one of them, I don't know their names, I think it's two women, want to get married, and she might have said, no, thank you. That might have been it. I don't know how far we got.
But it went there. I mean, this isn't Judge Judy shit. It's the Supreme Court. You would have believed that they would have presented all that evidence.
You know what, Joe? I would have believed that they would have asked better questions and not had ridiculous examples. I would have believed we wouldn't be talking about a Black Santa and a KKK. I would have believed they wouldn't be bringing up a publishing house when publishing houses refuse people all the time. I wouldn't believe they were bringing up, hold on, a restaurant when we all know chefs are artists. They gave awful examples.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is that I am not getting the feeling from this that they're done. I mean, some of these are terrible examples, but it's worthwhile to explore, okay, why is that a bad example? Okay, so let me come up with a better example. Let's fine-tune this. Let's talk about what do we think the possible outcomes of saying yes or no to this are. I think that, you know, hashing it out is part of their process, is it not?
Well, here's the thing. Let's be honest. While there is an art to a good web designer, I agree there is a, there, at the end of the day, it's customer service. That's really what we're talking about. This is a customer. You're not creating websites for shits and giggles because you're an artist. You're just not. The people don't have galleries of websites. You're creating websites for, because people are paying you to create websites. So really, this is customer service and what was involved in this particular thing.
But the thing about it is, she's creating, and basically to do this wedding, it's stuff, personal stuff that they send, stuff that she has to sit there that she doesn't agree with. Now, in a case of a restaurant, there's not a souffle with the picture of the couple on their first date.
But Joe, what you just described is not free speech. What you described is not her art.
But she is creating something with something she doesn't believe.
She might not be.
Could be perceived as speech.
But she might not be creating anything. They might create the whole thing and pick out all the themes, and she's just doing code. I'm sorry, that's
but
not art.
Has to sit there and do it and present something.
But she's not making that argument.
In a way, it's speech.
But it's not speech if she's just entering code. It's not art. That's what we need to know. That we need to know what the hell's going on. Because if you're entering code, you're not an artist. Pippa's entered code. There's no art to entering code. Pippa's also done websites where there might be a little bit more art involved with it. We need to know what exactly this is. And keep in mind, she wanted to get into the wedding business. It was her choice. She wasn't always in the wedding business. She wanted to get into the wedding business in 2016 in Colorado, in a state where there's a lot of gay people. And she's being sponsored by one of these Christian groups that fund all these fucking cases and everything. Now, I'm not saying an artist should be compelled to create something that they don't want to do. But what I am saying is this might not be that. And there's an ulterior motive, and there's a reason they're not using religion as the Christian groups are funding this shit.
What I'm saying is this: either the story doesn't go in depth, or you can't. To bring it in front of the Supreme Court, they have to look at all sides of it. How it's presented? What are they considered to make a decision, or even to go around it? It's not like it's court in town.
You know what? I don't think the Supreme Court should have taken the case. They don't have to take every case. They just ruled on this shit a couple of years ago, where they kind of skirted the issue.
That's the thing, is they skirted the issue, so that's why some
But now they want to take it because like I said, these Christian groups are paying for these cases, and you have these conservative judges, but they don't seem like they're equipped to handle the case based on these questions. The questions they're asking, the audio that was released to us, because we're not in the courtroom. The questions are shite. They are shite. What? They're not getting to. Is this an art thing? But she's paid for play.
And that's the problem.
Yeah. What she should say is, I'm an independent contractor. That's what she should say. And do I have to be compelled as an independent contractor? That's what she is. She's an independent contractor, and it's a customer service thing. And unless she's going to say, listen, I pour over themes, and I put on music, and I blend the colors, and all my websites are unique. I don't use themes from WordPress. I don't do any of this stuff. Each website is handcrafted. Okay. Now we're talking.
Because design is a legitimate art form.
Yes. Of course. Of course it is. But also these themes are on WordPress. WordPress has all these themes. Like the davincomedy.com website is made with something called the Dixie theme. And then within the theme, you can do different things within the theme. There's all these different themes. Now, is she the one designing the Dixie theme? No! She's not designing the Dixie theme.
She's the one doing the work, and she's the one being involved in something that she doesn't believe.
But that's not what her argument is. Her argument is she's being compelled to make speech. That's her argument. That's the crux of this. That's what makes this so different. And I'm saying, I don't know if this is the right case for that.
It's not a perfect case. It's not something that is cut and dry. That's why I was having difficulty with it.
Which is why if the Supreme Court really and Justice Thomas says he wants to do a speech, if that's what they want to talk about, then this isn't the case for it. They're just trying. Listen, I'm not saying whether an artist should be compelled to do something they want to do or they didn't, but this isn't the case for it. And they're just it seems like they just want to come down on the gay people here. That's really what it seems like. No. They want another bite at the apple because Justice Kennedy went the other way with the bakery case.
No, that's not the case.
She's not an artist, Joe. I'm sorry. There's no evidence.
People have all the rights now, and people that don't want to go against their conscience don't.
That's not the case, though. That's not the case. Her case is free speech. It's not. That she didn't do a religious freedom case. She said free speech. I need to know that she's being compelled to make speech if we're going to say that web design is art. I need to know. I don't have it. I'm sorry. And the questions the judges ask makes me think that they don't have it either, which is a problem.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we don't want the Supreme Court deciding what is art. That would be a really spurious argument.
No, but I can tell you what art is. I mean, most good jobs, if you're good at your job, there's a balance between art and science. There is science to comedy, set a punch, jokes in threes, speed things up. There is a science. There is also an art to it. But I need to know, just like web design, like I have illustrated. I can't say it any better. I need to know how much of an artist she is or how much of a plug-and-play scientist she is. And they need to be asking those questions. And maybe they have, and maybe we don't have it. But I've seen the case on the news, and nobody's reporting it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's why it is difficult. I mean, it's sort of like being in a jury. Back when I had jury duty for the first time, I was frustrated by the way the case was presented to us because I thought that there was, if they were only clearer about some of the things they were presenting, we would have been able to decide better. But it was vague, and they say that the jury is allowed to ask questions. So I wrote down my question, like, well, from where the person was standing, you know, what was their point of view? And the judge ripped me a new one because he said that the jury is not allowed to dictate how they present the case. They're just allowed to sit there and decide from what is given to them. And like you are frustrated because you feel like they weren't presented with enough information to be able to make this distinction. I get that. That's how I felt in that jury box.
But here is the deal, too. If you go on and you do a Google search, if that's... web design is art, and Pip, if you want to do it there by you, it comes up, web design is art, even saying web design like music, drawing a painting, or even also the design, is an art form written in code. The damage, even if you say, well, she's just probably writing code, it is...
Let me tell you something. I've had at least three websites... designed. I've had at least, and each web designer has a completely different process. So it's not that because there are all these things. Like you can go to Wix. Wix is like a place where you could do a free website, and you could publish your own website. Because I design my own website on Wix, am I an artist? No. Now I'm not saying this. That's what this woman is. I'm not saying she. She's
there's design when you're designing your own website. I wrote a website in code from scratch, not using any plugins.
Right, that's different. That's completely different.
There's an element of design to that.
But here's the thing:
conscious choices
when you were doing
how
it.
This is going to present
when you were doing
if
it.
If she's doing that,
when
that's
you were,
art.
When you were doing it, it's a lot different. Now, pretty much all these the vast majority of web designers are using WordPress, and it's just a matter. It's just a matter of different themes within WordPress.
But how ironic that I'm on a site that it says WordPress developer, WordPress, web design like music, drawing, painting, even architectural design is an art form written in code. So if you're saying that it's an art, you're just writing code, it is considered on that as code as
yeah, but I don't. But that's one person's opinion. That doesn't mean it's right, and I don't know who wrote that.
But if you do Google it, you'll get a general consensus of everything out there saying is an art form.
By who? By who? Web designers? Yeah. If you ask,
if you Google it right now, if you it right now,
I'm doing something.
Is web design art? Everything comes up that it is art. Everything.
But by who? Who is everything? What?
The professionals out there that are actually...
Yes! Yes, and if you ask every comic, they're an artist. And I'll tell you, the one that repeats other people's jokes, not an artist!
You're such an expert on it. Why do you have people do it for you? I mean...
I'm not an expert. I asked my web designer. I asked my web designer what he thought, and he was kind of the same mind here that I am. And he...
Fire him and do the shit yourself. If it's not art.
No, because it's also a science, stupid. I can do the art part. I can't do the science.
A little bit of both, but it still is an art form.
It's not necessarily. It could be, depending who's doing it, depending what's involved, but they didn't establish that. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. You're less of an artist and as somebody who does it for pay.
Supreme Court, after everywhere this case had to go, how could it get to the Supreme Court without them establishing that?
I don't know. How can these judges... I don't know, Joe. How can these judges ask all the wrong questions? Joe, how can these judges ask all the wrong questions and not get to the crux of the issue? I don't know, but they're doing it.
Yeah, because they're sitting there, and but it had to get to that point where they would consider it could be a web design, could be art. On this case, do you think they wouldn't have? I mean, this isn't Judge Judy. You know,
I think they just want to get to an answer. I don't think they're asking the question, is web design art? Because they want to talk, they want to get to the speech thing. They're not really looking into it. And another thing, if you're going to solicit for weddings in the year 2016, if you're going to solicit for weddings, because she wanted to get into this business. You need to expect that you're going to have to deal with marriages that you might not agree with. You're soliciting business.
But you also have that right to turn it down.
Well, don't turn it down. Do a shitty job and give them their money back. But that's not what's going on here because there's this right-wing Christian group that wants to propel all this shit.
Let me get this straight. You'd rather take the job that you don't believe in and just do a shit job and waste these people's money?
No, I'd give them a full refund.
Saying you might want to go somewhere else.
No, but what I'm telling you, this is a setup. This is a setup. That's what this is. That's what they do with these cases. These Christian groups, they look all over. They see what's going on, a local news story, and then they propel. She doesn't have the money to take all this to the Supreme Court. It's getting paid for. That's what this is. And I resent the courts getting bogged down with this nonsense by lobbyists and groups that want to have their agenda met, whether it's right or left. This isn't organic.
The freedom of speech issue, isn't that their job?
But she's. We haven't established this as speech yet. That's the problem. Listen, man.
We're going back on the thing on the art form where I'm Googling it. Tip, if you want to join and Google it as well, you bring it up, and everything that you see on there is stating that web design is an art. Entering code.
Let me tell you something. There's a bunch of shit websites out there that are not art. Okay, you know what? Fine, I'm an artist.
That's your opinion.
All right, fine. You know what? Then when a kindergarten puts glue some macaroni and some glitter, it's art. It's so stupid.
The opinion of the beholder.
No, but this is an art with a science. So somebody has to make a decision here. All kids that glue a glitter and macaroni are artists? Stop it. That's ridiculous.
It's a combination of art and science. So they'll also tell you that if you do the search on it. It's a combination of art and science. But for the simple reason, art is part of the equation. It should be considered.
Let me tell you something. As somebody who does art for pay, you lose a little bit of art. You lose a little bit of art cred when you're just doing it for money. Because you know what? I'm an artist. But when I go to the Chabad house, I have a job. I can't do this. I can't do that. And I can't do this. But I'm an artist. Let's take it to the Supreme Court. I have free speech. Now I'm hired to
and
do a job.
And you also have the choice to turn it down again.
But I wouldn't turn it down based on. I wouldn't turn it down based on somebody's religion.
That's your choice. If you feel that your art might be, you know, is not what you want to do on that, you do have the choice to.
But in Colorado, you might not. In Colorado, this is a protected class where there's a discrimination law. That's the difference. That discrimination law isn't in every state, but there is an anti-discrimination law in Colorado. So that's important.
But they're ruling on that, whether if they're discriminating on the art, and they do consider web design as an art, regardless if you're sitting there and putting it in or just putting code in.
Well, please, listen, you just want to come down against the gays. I'm getting that from you. Because
Absolutely not.
That's all I'm getting from you.
Absolutely not.
I feel like you just want to come down on the right-wing religious freedom, because you kept on going back to religion, too.
Yeah, but you're looking at it the way they're presenting it, and it's a religious thing. If somebody is doing something they don't feel comfortable with because it does not coincide with their religious belief,
you know what?
It's their right to do it.
Let me tell you something. Religion's an art too. The whole concept of religion is art, because there's certainly no science involved with that. Everything is an art if you want it to be. This bullshit right here is an art if you want it to be. I mean, seriously. I mean, listen, you know, putting together this printer, which never worked properly, is an art too. Everything can be an art. So they don't have to put my printer together because they don't like Jews, and that's their art, loading the ink into the printer and getting the thing not to disconnect with the Wi-Fi. The Epson guy's an artist. Stop it. They're not Picasso. Enough.
I think that I mean, it's kind of going to the extreme to say everything is art, but it's also.
I know, and that whole thing you gave me, if Clarence Torrance would say, exactly, put it in with the Santa Claus at the Klan rally. They're going to have a printer there. Bring David's printer in there, too.
but that just shows you how much these judges have lost the headline here, that they're giving ridiculous examples like restaurants and not differentiating, and publishing houses who refuse things all the time. That's their job. And they listen, she could have said all she had, if she didn't want to do the job and they didn't want to make a stink, all she could have said, and it just happened to me with a different something different, I have too many clients, I can't take it on right now. That's what she could have said. She could have said, and nobody would be none the wiser. No. This is for a point.
Look, she could have threw baby powder on it, but she didn't, you know?
Yeah, well, she could have lied, but we all know that, for example, in racism, that people would say, "Oh, I'm sorry, there's not enough room on this bus for you," or "No, that apartment isn't available. I just rented it," and "Sorry, black people, you have to go look elsewhere." There are ways of still discriminating subtly. Maybe not coming out in your face and saying, "No, black people, run away."
But right, Pip. But right. So shouldn't your antenna go up when they're discriminating out in the open?
No. It's much worse. What I'm saying is that this is why they're debating it, because you're going to bring this case forward and you're going to say this is a situation because this business is is creative, it's an art form, I don't have to, as an artist, do things that I don't feel comfortable with. So that's why it's a test case. I mean, it's a lame test case.
Yes.
But I feel my spidey sense goes up when I see the Supreme Court is arguing about stuff that I feel that the right is throwing in things for test cases, because it's a slippery slope. How else can we block people that we don't like from being able to do things? I get that. I get your frustration. But I'm also on the side of the artist saying, I don't want to be in a position where somebody is telling me what I have to do. So that's why this is worth arguing about. Yeah, they're doing a crappy job of it. I'm really sick and frustrated with people who have been either appointed or elected into positions having conversations about Tickle Me Elmo and are the toys in this store gay? And, oh, my God, let's have reasonable, intelligent conversations where we can decide as a people what is discriminatory and what's not, and what's free speech and what can you be forced to do. Yeah, they're not coming up with great explanations, and I feel your frustration, but at least they're discussing it because it is something that they have to talk about, because I can see where potentially this could go. And, you know, we don't want to be in a world where because you're allowed to have free speech, I'm allowed to tell you that you have to sew a quilt, you know, of something that you find abhorrent.
But you don't. But once you open up your door for business, you open yourself up to that type of thing. Like I said, you can design
and
all
you
the.
Hold
on, you can design all the websites you want.
But don't you understand about this?
Because you can design all the websites you want, but once you open up a business, you're giving away some rights where there's an anti-discrimination law in place. This is a state that has an anti-discrimination law. She's giving away some of those quote-unquote freedoms.
But then it's her freedom to turn it down based on.
Maybe it's not, though. Maybe in a law with an anti-discrimination law, she doesn't have that freedom.
But basically, if it's on art and her art is considered a freedom of speech, which goes back to the original crux of this, she does have that right. Also,
not necessarily. You're saying that has to trump their state law. It might not.
Well, that's what the Supreme Court is for. And in addition to this, also we're in a state right now in this country where you get persecuted for your beliefs. And it's something that is at the forefront of this because it's something that somebody is getting persecuted for their beliefs, like their religious beliefs.
All right, hold on. Listen, I don't think anybody should be discriminated, and we're going to get to the next story. But enough with the majority. Although this is a Christian majority country, this is still a white majority country. Enough with them being always the victims. Now, sometimes they're victimized.
But now they're getting persecuted. Now, I want
they're not getting persecuted. She's not going to jail. She's not getting tortured. She'll be fine.
Accentuate something that you said before. She's like, well, she just could have declined to work, and then she has to go into this whole religious thing. You're talking about a religious conservative. They can't bring their trash to the curb without holding a cross. So, you know, what are you going
to
do?
Most of them are a bunch of phony MFers. All right, let's go to the next story. Let's go to the next one. The faith-based group denied service at a Richmond, Virginia restaurant is speaking out against what it called bigoted decision by the eatery to cancel its reservation. Metzger Bar and Butchery. Because you know what? You want drunk people with knives. Recently refused to host a private event for the Family Foundation, a conservative Christian organization, over its position on same-sex marriage and abortion rights. Family Foundation President Victoria Cobb told CBS Money Watch that the restaurant's decision not to serve the group based on its religions and political views was alarming and disgraceful. I guess she might not like what's going on in Colorado. It's not a good business. It's not a good business model to have the feeling like people are making an assessment of you whether you're worthy to eat at their restaurant. Now change that to web design. She's making the same exact argument. Cobb told CBS Money Watch, "It's uncomfortable for people to think that how we're getting to function society." I agree, sister. Metzger Bar and Butchery, which called itself an inclusive establishment that has rarely refused service to willing patrons, said on social media that it denied service to the group to protect its staff, and many of whom are women or members of the LGBTQ+ community. Recently refused service to a group that had booked an event with us after the owners of Metzger found out it was a group of donors to a political organization that seeks to deprive women and LGBTQ+ persons of their basic human rights in Virginia, the establishment said on an Instagram post, which is the most mature way to handle things. The move was consistent with Metzger's past practices and was made out of respect for its staff, according to the restaurant. "We have always refused service to anyone for making our staff uncomfortable or unsafe, and this was the driving force behind our decision." But usually they're already there. "All of our staff are people with rights who deserve dignity and a safe work environment." Was this a gun rights rally? What the fuck was going on? Metzger added that it strives to create a work environment where its staff can do their jobs with dignity, comfort, and safety. Because so often, I've often yelled at the waitress, "Hey, hope you're going to keep that baby." In a subsequent Instagram, it's what I do. It's what I do when I go out to eat.
Can you imagine? Oh my!
I didn't ask for an extra roll. I didn't ask for another basket of rolls. Just, you know, want to make sure the baby gets born in a loving home.
I see you're carrying my entree. I hope you're going to carry that baby to term too. That's what always happens in a restaurant. In a subsequent Instagram post, again, very mature, the restaurant also thanked its patrons for supporting the establishment following the incident. Metzger included an image of a cocktail named Cracks in the Foundation, said it would donate all sale proceeds to Equality Virginia, an organization advocating for LGBTQ equality. But apparently not. Apparently Mothers Against Drunk Drivers not a fan of that cocktail. The restaurant's lead chef and co-owner, Brittany Anderson, is known for having been the contestant on Top Chef. I don't remember her. I'd have to see her. Metzger co-owner Nathan Conway declined to comment on the incident and said, "Look at my Instagram post." Beyond the restaurant's social media. Ugh, out of respect for privacy of all of our guests. After the incident, Cobb of the Family Foundation wrote a blog post entitled, "We've been canceled again," to which she immediately wrote to Joe, "See, people still write blogs. Have you ever been denied a meal because of your beliefs?" Well, I've been denied a website. Last night, our team and supporters got that firsthand experience with Metzger's Bar and Butchery in Richmond, where Virginia refused to service our pre-reserved event, leaving us scrambling just moments before. Fortunately, we found a Domino's and had the flatbread pizza, and it was delish.
Funny. I hope you got some wings, too.
Yes, get the wings. Cobb said in the post that one of the restaurant's owners called her to cancel the reservation about an hour and a half before the event was set to begin. She compared the experience of today's cultural climate to the 1950s and early 60s when people were denied food service due to their race. All right, slow down, sister. She also encouraged supporters of the group to make a financial contribution. Of course you did. Will you consider a donation today to support our efforts to ensure that no Virginian will ever have to worry about being refused a simple meal because of his or her religious beliefs? Cobb told the CBS Money Watch he's open to having a conversation with Metzger's owner and would consider dining there should the Family Foundation be welcome, but I don't think that's their intention. All right. First of all, I don't understand this whole thing where they felt threatened.
That's another thing I want to bring up. Now, on the last story, you know, you need to present and you need to demonstrate on how you feel that this is ours. So what just as an overview, all right? But in this one, you need to demonstrate and show how the staff would feel uncomfortable or unsafe having these people being in.
Well, they don't have to demonstrate it because it's not a...
would not be realized.
Well,
would not be a safe work environment.
They don't have to demonstrate it because it's not a court case. But I would like to know if you're going to put that out there, how. If that's where you're... Listen, you feel uncomfortable because of what they think? Stop it. Stop it. You're in Virginia. Plenty of people don't like gay people in Virginia. Plenty of people do like gay people in Virginia. I mean, stop it. You're being a child. Now, if they do something out of hand, if they start, you know, using derogatory slurs for gay people, all right, we kick your ass out. Got no problem with that.
Right. Or if he had a history of doing that, you know, I would agree with that. But the way they make it sound, it, you know, it's like, well, yes, hey, queer, can we get some more beer in here? You know, I mean,
can you imagine?
It seems that they're grandstanding more than giving significant, you know, grandstanding and assuming what they think would happen based on their ideology against a group like this than actually past situations. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Listen, I don't think a restaurant should be able to refuse people based on their political beliefs. But I'm consistent. I know you're an artist. So we can make the same argument here. I'm a chef. I'm an artist. And I don't want to give my speech to this group that I don't believe in. Shut up. You open the doors. You're there to make money. Just like the web designer. You're a business now. Serve them until they do something that shows they don't deserve to be in your restaurant. Just like make the website until they do something that serves they can't be a good customer. Stop it. You're in the business to make money.
In the same way we were debating what we you or I are going to deem what's art or what's code or what's that, we also need to deem what's going to make a staff uncomfortable or unsafe or having
people... No. The apples to apples conversation is a chef an artist. That's the apples to apples conversation. Which we can have. And I would say a chef is more of an artist than a lot of web designers are. But again, I gave the example. Are you a McDonald's fry-a-later? Or are you a chef there who's like, putting micro veggies and like using tweezers to organize everything? I mean, what are we doing over here?
You know what? But even if we were going to do that, then we have to reorganize the wording. If the head chef came and came out and said, "We, as an art, somebody that's creating art food, I do feel a little encumbered with having these folks in my restaurant, and I request they do not come." But when they're saying that, you know, the staff is going to be uncomfortable or unsafe, and it's going to take their dignity, I think you're grandstanding, putting more on how you feel as an artist in regards to an item.
Like the web designer, these people are assholes. That's what, and an hour and a half before you're going to call, how dare you? You know what? If it wasn't for grandstanding, and Joe, I think the grandstanding, just like I think the web designer's grandstanding. Here's what you do in the situation. Here's what the web designer should do. Here's what these people should do. You serve them, you take their money, and then you take the profits to a charity that you believe in that is the complete opposite of what they believe in. That's what you do with it. And if you want to let them know, God bless you. But no, we have people grandstanding here on both sides, and I'm not going to tolerate it. See, I'm the only one who's consistent up in this bitch. But I got no stomach for this. We all need to make a point and look how wonderful we are. Now you all suck. You're all in business to make money, so make money. And if people want to give you money, take their money. And if you want to give that money to a charity that opposes their political beliefs, good for you. Have at it.
But also the thing about it is you do have the right, and this is a two-part thing. You do have the right to refuse providing a service. However, you got to throw baby powder on it, you know, with the woman of the artist. Look, I'm busy. I'm going to decline the work here. Well, unfortunately, we're going to be closed that day or something like that instead of grandstanding. I mean, we had a situation at the day program today. One of our field sales, who was a really good guy. There was a situation that was created because he got back to a customer in a very negative way. We were totally in the right on our position. I spent more fucking time this morning throwing fucking Band-Aids on shit. So even though if a decision of, you know, at least our company was correct, the way it was presented to the customer was totally wrong, and it created a situation, and we had a, you know, I spent most of my morning trying to fix the fucking thing.
Well, Joe, you are an artist when it comes to customer service, my friend. You're a customer service artist.
Spend the day with me, yes.
and you should not have to serve customers that you don't believe deserve servicing. I mean, stop it. I mean, just.
I just want to put a. Maybe you'll see what I'm thinking if I put it this way. I do believe that if you, I want to use a different example slightly, as an artist. There's an art to being a chef.
Yes.
However, the difference is they were complaining about what they had to incorporate into what they were doing versus who was going to be the end user, if you will, of what their art was. So if you're saying, I'm going to make a website about anything, but I don't like gay people looking at it, that's more consistent with I'm going to make food, and I don't like gay people eating it. You know, there gay people are not saying you have to make kiwis and bananas, the dessert.
Yeah, I'm not.
They have nothing to do with how it's prepared.
Yeah, your example is lost on me, but I appreciate the effort. I don't get what you're going for, but
I'm just saying that they don't have input or anything to do with the creation of the thing when it's food.
What?
They would have to, as a creative, if it was created from scratch, let's say, a website, you're creating it, and I have the gay people are part of the ingredients you're making me put in. But when somebody's making food, saying,
yeah, I don't know.
Oh, well,
I don't know,
you know,
if changes anything. I don't know if that changes anything.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying that I do see a distinction that I'm not articulating well enough.
Here's my distinction. Here's my distinction, Pip. You're in a capitalist country. You want to make money. Serve the people that want to pay you the money. That's what everybody. Enough with the take Joe's words. Stop powdering everybody's ass. Stop it.
Yeah.
But also on this one, if the chef said, these people have an ideology. I don't feel that I'm creating a meal, and I don't feel that in my best effort, I could create a proper meal for these people because I don't believe it. It's kind of like a freedom of speech. Now, here's the deal: we always refuse for anyone making our staff uncomfortable or unsafe, and the driving force behind the decision, the business support. All of our staff, people with rights, who deserve dignity and safe environment. That's actually bigotry. Because you're making an assumption on a group of people coming in. It's like not serving African Americans because you don't think they're
going to... Well, no, they're making that assumption based on what that group puts its money towards and what it does. They're judging them on their actions, not the actions in the restaurant, but the actions of that group, which I don't agree with, but that's what they're doing.
But if the chef made if it was the chef that came, once again, it's like how the artist feels.
Well, the chef is also an owner. It's a chef owner.
Yeah, but once again, we're going based on that. I don't feel I can create a meal, and this is baby powder time. Create a meal that an ideology that I don't believe in. As the owner, I do have the right to feel that way. But when he starts bringing in our staff are going to be uncomfortable or unsafe, and they're going to take the dignity and take away a safe work environment, I don't think that's the right way to present it. Almost the same way in the way that the web designer presented her case.
I think
the restaurant was really rude, and I think purposeful in canceling at the last minute because, if they knew who they were, they had time to tell them, we don't want your business. That was just sticking it to them.
There are two distinct differences in these two cases. One, Colorado, there's an anti-discrimination law, and in Virginia, it does not appear to be. And the other one is homosexuals are a protected class by the federal government, and white people are not. Now, I don't think you should be able to discriminate against white people, and I don't think you should be able to discriminate somebody based on their political beliefs either. Now, if you tell me, listen, they have a history of murdering people, all right, I'm sorry, but some of you people, you murder people, our staff feels a little uncomfortable. That's not a political belief. That's your criminal record. There's a difference here. If you marched on Charlottesville and said Jews will not replace us, I'm sorry, that makes our staff feel uncomfortable. You went and terrorized a community. Our people feel uncomfortable. Because we're anti-abortion and anti-gay does not mean we're Vikings. It does not mean we are going to pillage your restaurant. There is a difference.
Right.
I mean, but
if they ripped the place up like rampaging orangutans the last time they were there, yeah, you people are banned. But yeah. Assuming how they're going to behave. Because you know what they're...
There's no track record that I know of this group going into public restaurants and terrorizing the staff. If there's a track record, by all means, don't let them in. But if there's no track record of it, you gotta serve them.
I mean, look, if the biker gang from A Bronx Tale wants to come to my restaurant, they're not coming.
You try to keep them out. You try to keep them out, my friend. I don't think you can. We gotta stop. We gotta stop because they don't think like I do. I can't do my goddamn job. Stop it. Man up. Enough being pussies. Do the job. And if you don't want to take the money, give it to a charity that'll piss them off. That's how you be an adult in this world. It's I'm going to take it to court. Or my dishwasher has sand in her vagina because she doesn't want to wash dishes for people that are anti-abortion. Shut up. We're not asking you to serve a fetus. Cut it out.
But with a little apple in their mouth?
Delish. Delish.
Delish.
Right. Pip likes that for her birthday dinner. I mean, I can't with these people. Just serve everybody. All right, next one. Free speech, or is it Elon Musk? Ugh. Twitter CEO Elon Musk defended his decision to ban several prominent technology reporters from the platform on Thursday night, claiming they were violating Twitter's policy of doxing. You dox, you get suspended, Musk said on Twitter Spaces conversation with journalists. End of story. Doxing is the act of sharing information like addresses, phone numbers, and emails online in an attempt to allow others to harass the individuals. The billionaire abruptly suspended the accounts of reporters from the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, and other outlets on Thursday night who had covered Musk's recent dispute with Jack Sweeney, the creator of @ElonJet. Why? Sweeney, who created the Twitter account that tracked the movements of Musk's private jet, had his account suspended on Wednesday despite previous assurances from Musk that he would not be banned. Musk's suspension spree on Thursday included The Times' Ryan Mack, The Post's Drew Harwell, CNN's Donnie O'Sullivan, The Intercept's Mika Lee, Mashable's Matt Biner, independent journalist Aaron Rupar, Tony Webster, political commentator Keith Olbermann also had his account suspended. Same doxing rules apply to journalists as to everyone else, Musk said in a tweet on Thursday night, later adding, criticizing me all day long is totally fine, is it? But doxing my real-time location and endangering my family is not. Washington Post executive editor Sally Busby said in a statement that the decision to suspend Harwell and other reporters directly undermines Elon Musk's claim that he intends to run Twitter as a platform dedicated to free speech. New York Times spokesman Charlie Statlander also denounced the suspensions as questionable and unfortunate, while CNN called the decision concerning but not surprising. Musk suggested that the suspensions are going to be 7 days. All right, here's the thing. That Elon Jet, all that information you can get on public websites, so he's not being doxxed. Anybody can look at it. Keith Olbermann is not revealing where Elon Musk is. Listen, as I've said many times, it's his website. He can do whatever he wants. I really don't care what he does. But at the end of the day, you're not a free speech absolutist. You're a bitch just like the other billionaire. That's what you are, Elon. You weren't always a bitch. Now you're a bitch. I mean, don't say criticizing me all day is okay. And then you get rid of a bunch of people who criticize you, but did not give out any personal information. It's ridiculous with this. I mean, like I said, it's not ridiculous with this guy. It's his toy. Do whatever you want with it. It's absurd that people think this guy is on doing some type of crusade. And the people in the right wing, they're not going to call him out on his shit. They're going to be like, yeah, way to own the libs, which means they're not into free speech either.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he is being really... He's really jumping over the line saying that they're doxing him by showing where his airplane is. Like you said, that's information that you can get elsewhere. It's like, well, nobody's going to say it on my platform. That's silly because it's available in other places. It's not like they found one thing that, you know, nobody else knew and it was going to endanger your children or something. No, that's not really what's happening. It's just you're being sensitive and you're like, my toy, no, take my ball, going home.
What he also did was he banned somebody for promoting that they were on Mastodon, which is like the competition, which he said he wasn't going to do. I think he's kind of come back on that. But yeah, I mean, listen, he's not banning them permanently. He's doing it for 7 days, which is not a big deal. Lord knows Facebook does things arbitrarily. But I'm just saying, the whole Elon Musk is a free speech absolutist is bullshit. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with Olbermann, I believe Musk reenacted his account. I think it was, and here's the thing, Elon Musk suspended a number of journalists and the liberal commentator Keith Olbermann for reporting, for reporting on an account that was tracking his private flights. So the thing about it is, I don't think he's doxing him if he's report on something that was doxing. You know, he wasn't doxing Musk. He was reporting on an account that was doxing Musk. So I believe maybe Musk was out of line for suspending him, and they dawned on him. No, he wasn't doxing you. He was reporting.
Well, hold on. Let me. You and I are of the same mind, but he's not out of line because it's his fucking thing. He can do whatever he wants. He's not out of line, but. All I'm saying is, much like we do a lot on this show, let's just call the bullshit what the bullshit is. None of the three of us lose sleep over what Elon Musk does. But for people to hold this guy up, listen, you want to hold him up for the space and the cars? I'm right there with you. But as far as some free speech absolutist, he sounds like another baby billionaire bitch that we're going to cover real soon. I mean, that's what he sounds like.
Basically, Twitter, you know, was silencing a lot of people. So Musk comes in, he starts trying to, you know, shake up the place, and take certain actions. And in certain actions, some people make stupid moves. A lot of times you'll be with management of any kind. And I'm just saying the way it is as a human element. Sometimes you have management that comes in and shakes things up and totally fucks up something with a policy on what they want to do. I've seen it happen. I've been the victim of it. I've had to deal with it, overthrow, you know, especially in one of the day job things. They're in a state of flux right now, and they come up with I'm still waiting for shit to get approved because they have this thing, and nobody, you know, and nobody wants to grab the wheel and take hold of it. And I've got prices that are that are net prices that are shown on the list price sheet. Jesus Christ, it's been 2 fucking weeks. Yeah, we're going to get to it. You know, so it happens in business where you get upper management that comes in that, frankly, are either up to their ass or grandstanding or don't know what the hell they're doing. And that's what's happening here. It's a business. He's the boss. He's running it. You know, and sometimes you make mistakes so that your judgments are not the best. I'm not defending him. I'm just stating the way it is.
Yeah, that's fair. I got no problem with that take. I'm just saying, my only take with I got no problem with what he's doing either. My only thing is, let's stop pretending that this guy is some paragon of virtue and some you know, some crusader for the First Amendment.
Prudent thought, and seeing this thing where he's suspending Olbermann, and then it turns around. Well, I'm going to restate it because he reported on on an account that was tracking his private flights. He reported us. So Musk, he's like Trump in a sense where he just sees one little snippet and goes, "Why that son of a bitch?" and didn't bother reading the rest. You know?
Yeah, yes. It's amazing how quickly this guy has risen in the opinions of some people and deteriorated in the opinions of other people. But I was watching somebody, I don't remember who, but they raised this good point. You know who is buying all those electric Teslas? Liberals. That's who was buying that shit. Conservatives want a Ford F-150. You know, conservatives want a Mustang or a Corvette. They were so, and now you've seen Tesla stock go down.
Fucking Hemi, yeah, I don't want an electric car. Yeah.
So, and now you've seen Tesla stock go down the shitter because so he might want to keep his eye on the prize and remember, you know who's buying my fucking car? Those latte liberals. That's who's buying my Teslas, and I better start keeping them happy. And you know what? Maybe it's time to sell Twitter.
He might break the. You know what? I mean, he's not stupid. He's a brilliant man. He might break out the baby powder. You know, if he starts to see more, you know, fallbacks. Like if I bought this business. And, you know, I put my point out, but this is some of the pushback. And you want to know something? If you got somebody whispering in your ear, "Hey, stupid, a lot of liberals buy these fucking cars," he might back off.
I think it was Joe Scarborough. I think it was Joe Scarborough who brought that up. On Morning Joe. But yeah, it's just whatever. I mean, listen, and he put up a poll. Should I relinquish control or should I like be the hands off on Twitter? And it was like 57 to like 42% said that he should.
Well, at least he's putting it out there. And also, and I brought this up either the week or the week before, he's got other fish to fry. Number one, a lot of the Teslas, the early Teslas are getting to the point where they need new batteries. It's gonna be a tell of a tale on how people react when they have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to get a battery, or what the value of an older Tesla is. Number two, he's busy. You know, he just sent that ship up by the moon, and now he's trying to land men on the moon to use that as a base to go to Mars eventually. So he's got that.
He's also working on some like microchip in the brain thing that he's been promising.
So this guy is like a modern day Howard Hughes. So you know, in with everything going on, will he stay with Twitter? Does he have bigger fish to fry than horsing around with this shit? You know, that remains to be.
I said it like last week. It's just another billionaire who's bored. All right, let's move on to Governor DeSantis. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on Tuesday asked his state Supreme Court to greenlight an investigation of any and all wrongdoing in Florida with respect to COVID-19 vaccines. his latest move to cast doubt on vaccine effectiveness and amplify fears and side effects. In a petition filed with the Florida Supreme Court, the Republican governor requests the impaneling of a grand jury to investigate a broad group of entities associated with the development, distribution, promotion of the vaccines. Hey, I know a guy who promoted them and distributed them, including pharmaceutical manufacturers and their executive officers, as well as medical associations. DeSantis also said Tuesday he was launching a public health integrity committee, a panel that would counter the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which DeSantis said is not serving a useful function. It's really serving to advance narratives rather than do evidence-based medicine. See, like this YouTube site I'm on. The panel would assess guidance and actions from federal agencies such as National Institute of Health, U.S. Food and Drug Administration, CDC. DeSantis has made COVID-19 vaccine skepticism his calling card ahead of a potential run for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination. The governor who cruised to victory, and yeah, we know he's positioning himself as a potential rival to Donald Trump. He's actually winning in the polls, but what those are worth. The announcement Tuesday came at a roundtable focused on vaccines that DeSantis led. The Florida Governor Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Ladapo, during the roundtable, pointed to examples of the vaccine causing myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, and said pharmaceutical companies need to provide more data to independent researchers so they can further study the side effects from vaccines. Weren't they reviewed by peer groups? I thought they were.
They were.
Yeah. Well, isn't this like the most tested vaccine ever? Pretty sure it is. We will answer this question. It's a question that I'm sure keeps the CEOs of Pfizer and Moderna up late at night, hoping no one ever looks. But we're gonna look here in Florida. That's what we're gonna do. Now that we're done fucking the big mouse that brings in billions of tax dollars, we got bigger fish to fry. Cases of myocarditis and pericarditis, inflammation of the heart and heart lining, are rare from Moderna vaccines, although they are more likely to occur among young men. The risk of heart inflammation is far greater from COVID-19 than from vaccination. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, but it's the lesser of the two evils. Following large clinical trials, the FDA authorized the shot for use in people 6 months and older, and CDC continues to recommend them. Experts and government agencies say the benefits far outweigh the risks of the vaccines, dramatically reduce the risks of hospitalization or death from COVID. An analysis released on Tuesday by the Commonwealth Fund and the Yale School of Public Health estimated COVID-19 vaccines prevented more than 3.2 million deaths and 18.5 million hospitalizations in the United States, save more than $1.15 trillion in medical costs. DeSantis has frequently touted his decision to avoid the restrictions that many other states implemented in the early months of the pandemic. I kept this state open, I kept the state free, and now we have the biggest budget surplus in the history of Florida, he said in an October debate against Democratic challenger Charlie Crist. Early in the pandemic, DeSantis had advocated the need for vaccines, but his message has changed since mid-2021, a shift that coincides with skepticism among conservatives who have said at times have booed and chided Trump for touting the vaccines. Yes, he shaved your ass. What a reason to boo him. DeSantis' last year move to block Cruz. Yeah, all right. Florida as an outlier, most of the CDC. All right, so I'm going to play a mashup courtesy of Colbert and other places, but I got this one.
Know that there is no time to waste when it comes getting shots in arms.
They're safe, they're effective vaccines.
The messaging should be, get a vaccine because it's good for you to do it. It works.
The vaccines protect you, get vaccinated, and then live your life as if you're protected.
These vaccines are saving lives. They are reducing mortality. And these vaccines make it so that your chance of survival is pretty doggone close to 100%.
Okay, that's evidence right there that it causes genetic side.
All right, enough, Stephen. All right, so it seems like somebody is promoting the vaccine. Now, I'm still trying to figure out what harm he's claimed was done to Floridians. Like, I mean, if you're going to go after Pfizer and Moderna, where are the Floridians that are demanding that you kept the state open? So where is the harm? I gotta tell you, I think this is a mistake. If he does want to run for president, I don't think this guy's gonna run for president. I don't think so.
Really? Why do you think not?
Because he's gonna get his ass kicked. Listen, Donald Trump is out of his mind, but Donald Trump has charisma. This guy wears white boots to a hurricane. he's doing this shit to own the libs. Much like when you get Donald Trump on stage, can we play the audio? You get this guy on stage, can we play the audio? I mean, are you kidding me with this? I mean,
stop judging me just because I have that poster with the big white boots over my bed. Stop judging me.
Now here's the thing: they said 70% more Republicans died than Democrats because of COVID-19, and that's because the vaccine skepticism. Hey, little secret, if you want to win elections, you need more people to vote. And if you want live people to vote, keep them alive. Also, Florida full of senior citizens, the most vulnerable people to COVID-19. The vast majority of Floridians couldn't wait for that vaccine to come out. Now, I'm not talking about whether they wanted the state shut down. A lot of them didn't want to, and that's fine. But they damn well wanted that vaccine, the vast majority of them. You know why? Because it let them live their little senior citizen lifestyles. They could go back to the Publix and not worry about dying. They could go swimming in a pool. They could play Mahjong. They could hang out on the lanai with their friends. What are you doing, stupid?
I want to do all those things.
Yeah, well, we'll give it another 10 years.
I think DeSantis is within his rights to ask for this. Number one, it's a petition filed with the Supreme Court to request...
No, not the Supreme Court, the Florida Court.
It's the Florida Supreme.
We just talked about SCOTUS, so I didn't want them get
Florida Supreme. I misread on that. Florida Supreme Court, the impounding of a grand jury to investigate a broad group of entities associated with the development, distribution, and promotion of the vaccines. Now, obviously, we all know what a grand jury does. A grand jury is provided evidence, and they go over the evidence, and they do decide whether there is enough evidence to move forward and to question all of this. And they have that right because basically, they did mention DeSantis saying, get the vaccine. You know, we need people to get the vaccine. That was from 2 years ago, 2 years when we...
That was from 2021.
It was 2021, still close enough, where we were still being told that the you're not going to get infected, or, you know, and you will not get infected, when it found out that the efficacy was not where it was. So what they're doing is they're going to review and find out what exactly did they know this? Was the efficacy, you know, effective? Were we misled on the efficacy? Also, there was a thing where it might cause blood clots. Now, that's still up in the air. Well, you know, it's found it's not something that this grand jury could look into and find out and say conclusively, no, it really does not have anything to do with that, or, yeah, there is some substance to that. And finding all this information is worth enough to bring out and move forward. It could probably, the grand jury could come, no, there's really nothing here. But he is asking the question for a grand jury to review this. So I don't think there's anything wrong there.
But the shit's already been reviewed. Listen, I'm fine with it because I don't want the Republicans anywhere near power until they can get their shit together and be a responsible party. So you want to kill more of your own party? Be my guest, because I'll tell you what, the liberals can't get enough of the vaccine. So do what you want, Ron, but this isn't going to play for most of the country, because most of the country is thrilled that we got the vaccines. Who said we could get the vaccines? Donald Trump said we could get the vaccines, because we all went back to being normal and living our lives because of this vaccine. So go for it, Ron. If you beat DJT, you're going to get your ass beaten in the general election.
When we're following the science, it turns out the science wasn't exactly where the science was supposed to be or what we were told.
Right, but Joe, the alternative was not having vaccines, and the studies have just come out that the vaccine saved a lot of lives and saved hospitalizations and saved trillions of dollars. So like I said, he can do whatever he wants, waste the Florida taxpayers' money. That's one way to go through the surplus. And make this your crusade. Be an anti-vaxxer, because you will get your ass kicked in the general election. And I can't wait for that, Mr. White Boots. Go for it. Again, like I did last week and the week before, I'm begging the Republicans to give me a sensible choice. I'm begging you to give me somebody who actually isn't paying to the wingnut party. You can't do it, apparently. It kills me.
Yes. But he has every right.
Sure.
And it's going in front of a grand jury. Right?
But Joe, let's be honest. This guy isn't doing it because he's really concerned and he's a man of science. He's doing it for political reasons. He saw Donald Trump get booed at a Donald Trump rally for touting the vaccines, and a little stupid half-lit light bulb went on in his head, and he said, aha. And listen, I think Donald Trump's biggest
mistake. You know what? I think if the vaccine was everything he said, what are you doing? But if the vaccine is a little bit of what they said, well, you know, we need to look into this and find, you know, just to find out with a grand jury deciding if there is enough, if there's anything there to move on.
What is a grand jury of laymen? What are they going to find out? This thing has been tested. You yourself said you're going to get the, I don't know if you got the other shot or not, but you said, listen, I'm going to be doing all these Christmas parties. I'm going to get the other shot. It keeps us safer. It probably kept Pip alive.
Now, all it's a piece of paper. If I get questioned going into a house, if I have the vaccine, I just have it. I'm playing the game here. I got it.
Well, right. But who is demanding a piece of paper when you walk in as Santa?
You don't you go. These fucking people are out of their fucking minds that you go to perform for.
Really?
I haven't had that.
They're out of their fucking minds.
Right, but you do have the piece of paper.
Listen, when I go out and do these shows, I bring backups to everything. I'm prepared to handle any fucking thing that happens, you know, out in the middle of the fucking night doing this shit. One of those things is if I got people in a group, well, are you vaccinated? Here, I'm vaccinated. There we go. You know, move on. I'm playing the game, you know, so that's the end. And also, like I said, it's not, you know, it's a petition. He's petitioning the Florida Supreme Court that he would like to see if to get a grand jury. A grand jury decides if there's not enough evidence to move forward, to move on, because basically the vaccine was not everything they said it was. What are they holding back? What are they want? Is there anything they're holding back? Anything they're lying? Anything they told us? Yeah, he did say get the vaccine, but this is when they told us that it will, you're not going to get COVID. The vaccine is the do all end all, and apparently it wasn't.
Let me leave you with this thought, and then we'll do our great debate of absurdity. If he really believed this, Joe, if he really believed this, he would have done it before the governor race, before election day. if this is what he really believed, and he's really doing right by the people, but no, he knows in Florida that might have tipped the scales. Even in Florida, the other way, as popular as he is, because the senior citizens, for the most part, they like their vaccines. So this is a loser. This is to own the libs, and this is probably put a finger in Trump's eye. That's probably what this.
Let the grand jury decide that. Let the grand.
Yeah, I don't need a grand jury deciding the efficacy of vaccines when we have groups of scientists doing it. Let the scientists decide. I don't need
scientists saying that. Oh, you will not get COVID. Oh, you're not do this.
Right, but that's not what he's arguing. That's not what he's arguing. He's arguing that these vaccines are dangerous. That's what he's arguing.
And let's find out if they are.
They're not!
Every vaccine has a potential to have a certain amount of the population who has it be injured in some way by the vaccine.
How come every drug that you see advertised on TV, they spend half the time telling you of all the side effects, and this one that they brought out doesn't? Don't you find it a little odd?
Well, you know what? I also think that there was a pandemic and they had to hurry up and get something so that millions more people wouldn't be killed.
Let's find out if there were side effects, if they did push it through and did not tell certain things. You have the right to find that out, and you also have the right to make a decision whether you want to keep getting the boosters or not. You have that right.
Come
back, find if there is enough significant evidence to move forward. That's what a grand jury does.
Yeah, this.
I'm not saying that pharmaceutical companies are angels. There's we have an opiate epidemic in the country because they're not. Right. But having said that, I also know that we were in the middle of a crisis, and they had to hurry and get something so that millions more people wouldn't die. Right. And it bears further study.
But it bears
further investigation. But a grand jury, what are we going to spank them for doing this?
Well, grand jury finds out there's enough. Now, even to go into a public crisis when 9/11 happened, Christy Todd Whitman stood there and said, the air downtown is fine to breathe. We have found there is no evidence of anything that could cause any ill harm of that. She was lying through her fucking teeth. She had to lie through her teeth because it would have exacerbated a horrible situation where nobody could be rescued. Everybody would be afraid of getting sick. So I knew in her heart she had to, because she's sitting there going, oh, of course, how could it not be? So in certain such dire situations, yeah, you know, some liberties have, you know, are taken, you know, I guess for the betterment of everybody against a certain situation. But in this, he's requesting the grand jury look at it. The grand jury can come back and say there's nothing here, you know, and fine. And that's his foot to put in cow shit.
Hey, listen, once again, he can do whatever he wants, but I know what this is. I mean, and that's what this guy is. That's why when the right is getting all behind DeSantis again, I go, is this really the best you got?
No, so far it is.
I don't think it is. I think that so far it's where people are looking. I don't think it is by a long shot. I think there are some real solid leaders and people of integrity and people who can run things in the Republican Party. You all just don't look
you
at
know
them
what?
Anymore.
Like I said, I'd vote for him. But you know what? You know my leanings. I'm sold on him, okay? But what I said last week is I don't need to sell a candidate to me. I need a candidate I could sell to you two. Got 2 years to figure it out. The party does. They'll probably fuck it up again, like usual. But nonetheless, and that's what I'm telling every Republican, every conservative-leaning person like myself, is that we'll vote for that, but I don't need us.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. Joe Biden will beat his ass because of stupid shit like this. And I don't think Biden's the strongest candidate in the world. But if Biden runs, and Biden's got a bigger and bigger track record of accomplishments, he will beat his ass because of stupid shit like this and Disney World and all the other nonsense. The Republicans have better candidates. I don't know if they're candidates. The Republicans have better leaders than what they're presenting. All right, let's move on to speaking of a great leader, Donald John Trump, boys and girls. Let's do a great debate of absurdity.
1858, Nixon Kennedy 1960, Bush Clinton and Perot in 1992. But that all stops now. Welcome to Davin's Den's Great Debates in Absurdity.
All right. Donald Trump is the subject of this week's great debate of absurdity. He's my favorite president. I'm sure he's your favorite president. He always tells us that he's everybody's favorite president, more than Lincoln, more than Washington, as it turns out. Yes, he said that. And I've often been told, sometimes by Mr. Curry, that Donald Trump works on levels that I just can't understand. And I'll give you that. I'm not a smart man. I mean, I do think I'm qualified to help God figure some shit out. But other than that, I'm not a smart man. Donald Trump makes political moves that would bring down a lesser man. And Donald Trump has shown us, if nothing, he can make moves. They go, well, he's done now. And you go, no, he's not. He's just getting started, and he's better than before. That is something Donald Trump does. So I am a weak-minded man. But I am asking Pip and Joe to explain some things that I do not understand, since number 45 has declared he's back and he's running for president 2 years out and he's just getting stretched out. These are two things. The first thing he did, discussed on this show, he likes himself some celebrities. He likes himself some dinner. He likes himself some Mar-a-Lago. So he invited Kanye West and a plus one to dinner at Mar-a-Lago. Now, unfortunately, for somebody in my position who's weak-minded, Kanye West is an anti-Semite. Very, very Hitler-y. Really loves himself some Hitler, the more and more it comes out. Also, who he brought to dinner, Nick Fuentes. Nick Fuentes, neo-Nazi, racist, anti-Semite. Now, Donald Trump claims he doesn't know who Nick Fuentes is, but he's been good friends with Kanye for a long time, and he has not refuted these things. He's not refuted the anti-Semitism. He's not come out against these things. I don't understand why this is a good move, but Pip will explain. And then we have what Joe will explain to us, because again, I don't understand this. Donald Trump says he has a big announcement, very big announcement. People are very excited, vice presidential candidate, policy, who knows? It's always big. It's always very big when Donald Trump has an announcement. So we're all waiting on bated breath, and here it is, lean in, kids. For $99, you can get an NFT, a digital trading card that Donald Trump says reflects his life and career. And I know this to be true because some of the NFTs are cowboys and astronauts and shooting lasers out of his eyes. We know that this is how Donald Trump became president. Such a diverse background and such accomplishments like this. So he would have his thing. I look at this and I go, I don't get this at all. I don't understand at all why he's doing this. But Joe will explain to us all why this is an outstanding political move by Donald John Trump. We will start with
absolutely genius.
Exit. Hold on. We're going to start with Pip and the Nazis and her opening statement, and then you will have your opening statement. Go on, Pip.
Donald Trump made the most genius move ever this year, besides winning the presidency twice before. He had lunch with Kanye West, noted rapper, entrepreneur, and anti-Semitism enthusiast, and Nick Fuentes, noted anti-Semitism practitioner supreme. Genius move, fifth-dimensional chess without all the black singers. First of all, owning the libs. They flipped their unwashed, rainbow-colored lids over this summit. And rightly so. Even those green bad deal losers can see greatness when it is presented to them on a toxic metallic platter. While they're flipping out, Israel took note of what hypocrites the lids are, denying Trump the accolades for his incredible, bigly achievements in relations towards Israel, but losing it over a little tea party between friends. Can't have it both way, AOC fanboys. Secondly, this is just a thing that that'll make that pasty-faced little cock-blocker Jared finally leave his wife, leaving her alone. No worries about upsetting the kiddos. There's that excellent escape clause that was always there in place. Those kids aren't really Jewish, if Ivanka isn't. Sure, she might have said she was Jewish, but she had her fingers crossed. Or the white supremacy okay sign. Whatever. Now, Daddy can have his princess back with him, warming that seat on Daddy's knee once again. Saving the best for last, this meeting was the ultimate get-out-of-jail-free card. Insanity plea. Kanye was leading the way with some obvious foreshadowing. But then the coup de grace, his pal Nick Fuentes, came along. Kismet. Only someone colossally stupid or insane would have a meeting with these two. So any charges of wrongdoing, any charges, can be chalked up to the obvious cuckoo defense. Brilliant moves. Bigly approve.
Better. That was very well argued. Better than most of his attorneys. Joe, explain to us why selling NFTs are a genius move.
Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. Those NFTs were priced at $99 each and depict the president, depicts the president as a superhero, which he is, as an astronaut and a race car driver. Also depicts him as a crazy ex-president, but that's fun too. Okay? Now, these NFTs are non-fungible tokens, and they're on blockchain that proves ownership of a digital asset. They are digital goods, and that is a deed to a house, which is good. Biden doesn't have anything about that. As a matter of fact, they asked Biden about a blockchain, and he said, it's awful what the slaves went through. He doesn't know what the hell a blockchain is. All right, despite you want to mock President Trump, the collection of this digital trading cards have sold out in less than a day, netting $4.5 million in sales, which will pay for some of his lawyers. He's going to need that money. All right? Also, it's going to have visitors coming to Mar-a-Lago. These visitors are going to spend money, not like the pesky FBI who come down there and want everything on the house and go through everything. And the president knows that he can only be president. Well, he knows he's not going to be president again. However, what he's doing is a franchise. It's a franchise. Like you've heard of Star Wars. You've heard of Harry Potter, Jurassic Park, the January 6th committee. The sky's the limit with this. Give you an example, all right? Think about this Star Wars. You pay for a card with Trump having a laser saber fight with Nancy Pelosi. That's priceless. Or Trump in Jurassic Park trying to take down Mitch McConnell, who looks like a triceratops and was actually around back then. It's genius. Also, Trump can sell them at his rallies and make MAGA bucks with that. Genius. The man is a genius.
All right. Very well argued, Joe. Very well done. I don't understand how you guys were not at any of these impeachment hearings to argue for the man. Very well done, both of you. But I do have questions, because I'm a slow-witted man. Pip, is Donald Trump pro-Nazi?
I think that he is not pro-Nazi, but he's not anti-Nazi.
He's not anti-Nazi. So...
Nope.
Would he?
You know, I think that, you know, having had a lot of time on the golf course, he understands that sometimes a man just has to carry some kind of torch to keep them away from him.
So, since you feel this is a good move and will help with the insanity, is there plans to meet with more Nazis? Maybe this 97-year-old secretary. Listen, she's old. Florida's good for the bones when you're old. Well, does he have plans to meet with the Nazi secretary that we talked about earlier?
Absolutely not, because she blew it in the swimsuit competition. Absolutely not going to meet with her. Not interested. Not a 10. Not interested.
Very valid. All right, Joe. Why sell NFTs after the NFT market has already crashed?
Because you always get in and you buy cheap, and you get in cheap and you make your money back when it builds back up.
Builds back up like, say, Beanie Babies?
No, not Beanie Babies, but sort of in that manner, like Beanie Babies. But
or Joe Mark McGuire rookie cards? Is this the trajectory you see?
Yeah, if you see an opportunity, which Mr. Trump does, who's always seen an opportunity, you look to get into something when it's at the lower price and build it up and sell it at the higher price.
Well, it doesn't cost, I don't know, it's not a lower price to create NFTs. And he didn't actually create the NFTs. He just licensed his name to it. So we don't know how much of this money he's actually getting. And yes, it did sell out in 24 hours, but already the price has bottomed out on it. Already it's starting to go down a lot. And they distributed 44,000. And apparently the creator held back 1,000 of them and of the rarest ones. So people are skeptical. And I also want you to ponder on this, Joe, because this is not the first Trump foray into NFTs. Melania Trump earlier this year created an NFT, and it sold for $180,000. This is true. Everything I'm about to tell you is true. Also, it turns out Melania Trump bought that NFT. So, Joe, is it possible that Donald Trump or his people have bought up a lot of these NFTs?
Could be, but also you got to look at the MAGA crowd that follows him religiously, and basically at a rally he could sell the opportunity to sell this at a merch table and clean.
Well, hold on. You can't sell them at a merch table. NFTs are something; it's just on your screen. So,
however, it does give the profile of something that people are buying these up. If you could buy something more tangible that's not an NFT at a rally, and think about how many people go to a rally and you sell it at a certain price, you have a potential to clean up and make a lot more money.
So, Joe, are you saying that this isn't really about running for office? This is about, dare I say, making money off of his.
Yes. Absolutely pure genius. Because Trump, in his own heart, knows that he's not going to be president again. But he does see a marketing objective to clean up where he can. He's got a lot of lawyers to pay for. Plus, so basically, he sees an opportunity, something like that. You put out a product to see how a product would move with the potential of a target audience. And he sees that there is a target audience there. Using that target audience, he can move on to other avenues to sell his product. One of them being the MAGA rallies, which create, you know, bring in hundreds of thousands of people, and we'll bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I feel like you're saying Trump looks at his supporters like they're rubes.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if that's as good of a defense.
At this juncture, if Trump wants to play the way he wants to play and keep going, then you want to know something. If you feel in your heart you're not going to be president, if you feel that people from the party are moving away, you know what? Why don't you go make some money when you can?
Okay.
I tell you, sir.
Pip.
I just wanted to point something out to you, Joe. Yeah. You know, if they're going to be sold on the merch table, wouldn't they be fungible tokens?
Yes,
Pip. I have no idea what fungible means.
Yes.
I'm just asking.
Pip, are Ivanka and Jared on board with the Nazi meeting? Are they pro-Nazi meeting too?
No. However, I did happen to see a scandal sheet that was wondering if there was trouble in a Jared land between the two of them. And I say it's because she didn't exactly protest too much about this little meeting. As a matter of fact, she was back in the kitchen making the tea for this little tete-a-tete. And I'm thinking that this was an excellent way to drive a wedge between Jared and the object of his paternal affection. Yes. They're not on board with the Nazism, but it was an excellent, brilliant move to accomplish his ultimate goal.
Joe, Donald Trump compared these to digital baseball cards. Like, what type of stats will we find on the Trump astronaut card?
the kind of stats on the astronaut card. What do you mean the stats? Like,
he compared them to baseball cards. So we'll be like, you know, in 2012, smashed 4 asteroids. I'm looking at, like, what type of statistics can we look for?
Oh, on the astronaut card, the most planets visited.
Okay.
Meteors run in. I mean, it's going to be the greatest, the best you've ever seen. You'll never see anything like that. And instead of going into stats, it's just going to be on that. The best you've ever been, the best you can have, the most, you know, the most space you can get in space. You know, there's no stats. There's statements.
What would
will not be, so to rephrase that, there will not be stats on those cards. There will be statements.
Okay. That's good to know.
And you will also get an official Space Force pin to wear as well.
Now, Joe, I do have to say that not everybody is as pro NFT as you are. He lost Mike Flynn, Steve Bannon, and this one pains me the most, right-wing agitator Baked Alaska. What happens, Joe, when you lose Baked Alaska?
You have to make lemonade out of Baked Alaska. He's trying to make lemonade out of this. You make money. You figure an opportunity. He's a brilliant man that sees opportunity in this.
Kind of like a scam school. Same thing.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't need Baked Alaska. He doesn't need Terry Flambe. He doesn't need Bannon. All he needs is money and opportunity. And this is plenty of opportunity here, my friend.
So this is kind of like that real estate school that wound up being fraudulent. This is just like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
What scandal?
When the hell did Joe turn into a lib? Anyway, Pip. Pip. Pip, why doesn't Donald Trump know who he had dinner with?
You know what? I think it's because on his trip to the moon as an astronaut, he ate so much cheese. He was feeling a little bloated, a little bit stopped up. Lots of dairy in there. So he was not really paying attention.
Okay. Now, Joe, I guess the last question, and then we'll call it a night here and take our, as far as this is concerned, and take our final break. This said, you know, he advertises as like his life and his career, which I believe. I know Donald Trump, as you pointed out, was a great astronaut, a great cowboy, great in the military, even though he didn't serve. I know all these things. The one thing, and besides that, it turns out a lot of this artwork was stolen, by the way. My one concern, I don't quite understand the lasers out of the eyes. Can you explain that one to me, sir?
Oh, that's right, because he's mighty and powerful, and he's like Godzilla. And Godzilla would shoot shit out of his eyes and blow stuff up, and that's what he's going to do to the Democratic Party. Also, he has one more card up his sleeve that is going to sell like hotcakes. And what is that card? Well, you might want to take the children out of the room for this one. It's going to be the grab them by the pussy card, where he has hands that come out like two fucking cranes that go like this. And grabs the pussy. It's a 3D card. And you hold it up, and it tries to grab the pussy by different angles. It's going to sell. It's going to make at least $4 million.
I got to tell you, that's the card I want.
And that's what I said. And my mission is accomplished because I have finally think I'm able to sell him to you.
Yes. Yes. Yes, you've sold him to me. Like the Billy Ripken Fleer fuckface card, you have sold the Donald Trump NFT to me. Well,
almost the whole goddamn night, but
well done, both of you. Very, very well done by both of you. Completely explained. Now I understand the brilliance. All right.
I knew you would.
Yes, you guys did very well. On the break, we have new music from Dream Sound Masters and Ezekiel Asensio with Hypnotic Bell, and Renz and Jay Frog and Fresh Tracks with Break the Silence. And you can learn more about those artists at khb-music.de.